Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than deciding whether or not Captain Grammer is a superhero or supervillain. joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
Captain Grammer herself, Tabitha.
Who is not speaking to you.
Lydia.
I thought it was
Krista. It was Krista, that's right. I messed up.
Man, you can't even get my wrong name right.
And joining us from the Fortress of Solitude, Pickett.
Yes, hello.
And I'm Mitch. So I do want to start off tonight on kind of a personal note. Last night, a very good friend of mine passed away. Aaron was the type of person who would always have time for her friends, whether it was a shoulder to cry on or lean onto or just to listen to what's ever going on in your life. And she'd make sure to text you seemingly out of the blue if it had been too long since you'd spoken. She was so supportive of her friends and family, and she's going to be missed very dearly. So, yeah. We've got actually, and I don't know if you guys saw this because this was only announced not even an hour ago. Netflix has canceled Daredevil.
I did see that.
Really?
Yeah. There will not be a season 4. Not a whole lot of other information is available right now. It's just kind of, from what I was reading, just kind of sounds like the relationship between Marvel and Netflix has been kind of strained. But from what I saw, it said that it was kind of specific that, they said even though Daredevil's not getting any more new episodes, it's not leaving Netflix, it's going to continue to be on Netflix for a long time coming, which I thought was kind of a weird thing for them to say. Now, so that leaves, with Netflix, that only leaves The Punisher and Jessica Jones. They both have new seasons coming, but my guess, especially when you knock off the biggest show of them all on Netflix, when you knock that one off, I would be very surprised if either one of those continue on past this upcoming season.
I almost wonder if this isn't with Disney putting out their own streaming service, I almost wonder if this isn't kind of a segue, if you will.
See, that's what I'm thinking too, but it's just weird how they're going about it, if that's the case.
Right.
Because so far it's just kind of it's just not working out for us. Are they just waiting until next year when Disney Plus is getting closer to its release for them to be like, ha, all your shows that you've been missing are going to be back.
Right.
Yeah. When I saw that they said that the relationship between Marvel and Netflix has been strained, my immediate thought was that this has to do with Disney Plus and how that's going and what Disney's planning to do with things like Loki and Scarlet Witch and their shows. And I wonder if Netflix is you're just horning in on our territory. Mm-hmm. So basically as a the proverbial finger, we're just going to go ahead and cancel your shows that we've got just because.
Right. Well, and the reason they probably said they're going to be on there for some time is because there's probably some contractual obligations that they're holding on to, saying that, yeah, well, we produce these things, so we get to keep them.
Right.
So that's probably why that was also added in there as well. But yeah, I imagine that, when you're partnered with somebody and then all of a sudden they are doing the same thing you're doing as a partnership, but on their own. Yeah, that might cause a little bit of a strain.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll definitely see in the weeks and months ahead, but I saw that and I was like, huh. I mean, kind of expected it, especially after Luke Cage and Iron Fist. But at the same time, I was like, if they were going to keep any of them, I would have expected it to be Daredevil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, let's move on. We're going to do gut reaction a little bit early tonight. We're going to start off with Matt and the Artemis Fowl trailer.
So, Artemis Fowl is one of those books that I have seen on the shelves for a very long time. Thought looked kind of cool, even though I know it's geared for younger kids. But when that trailer hit, I was like, okay, I need to watch this and see what this is about. It's freaking awesome. It just looks super cool. The mix of worlds, it seems a little bit Percy Jackson. Mix of urban fantasy and mythology kind of thing. But and despite the fact that, you know, the lead character is what, 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think it looks really cool. My favorite thing of the whole trailer is definitely how the letters at the end of the trailer are like these, what are they? Like, they're shapes and like pictograms almost, and then they rotate and become his name, mm-hmm. which, awesome. I think that's cool. On the trailer alone right now, not really knowing anything else about it, I'm going to go thumbs up.
Tabitha.
I'm also going thumbs up. I read the first couple of these a long time ago when they first came out. I was probably the age that they were meant for at the time. And the books themselves are more like kind of you figuring out a puzzle, like mm-hmm. alongside of him. They're really interesting, so I hope they keep that aspect of it. But I'm going thumbs up because I think it's time.
Lydia.
Same thing, thumbs up. I never actually got around to reading the books, but I always saw them whenever I would go to like the library or a bookstore, and they always caught my attention. I just never got around to reading them, so I'm excited to see what they do with it.
I know that Artemis Fowl is a thing. That's about all that I know about it. Don't know anything about the book or anything. And for me, like, the trailer, it was cool, but it really didn't make me want to go and find out more. I'm giving this a thumb sideways for right now, but we'll see. Pickett.
I'm thumbs way up. I actually haven't seen the trailer, but I've read every book, and I love them. They're really fantastic books. Matt, you hit it right on the head. It's very similar to Percy Jackson, to which I've also read every book. I have a section of books that I really stick to, and it's definitely for children, but that's all right. But I've been waiting for this for some time. They've been hinting at it and delaying it and thinking about it, and different, you know, studios have thought about picking it up, and finally it's happening, and I couldn't be more excited. So yeah, thumbs way up.
Cool. Before we go on, I should have mentioned this earlier, but this episode is brought to you by LodgeCon. LodgeCon will be held February 9th and 10th at the Will County Fair Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. They are actually looking for volunteers for this year. If you volunteer to be a GM/DM for 1 4-hour time slot, you get a half-price badge. If you do it for 2 4-hour time slots, free admission. Or 4 4-hour time slots, you get a free LodgeCon t-shirt. Check out their Facebook page for more information. I'm giving this one way thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yes.
LodgeCon, now part of Gut Reaction. Tabitha, up next is Tom Baker. I know that you didn't have a whole lot of information, but can you at least tell us what's going on?
Okay, so my Doctor Who knowledge is very limited. Tom Baker was evidently the fourth Doctor. Mm-hmm. Somebody better back me up. Okay, great. He's going to be publishing a Time Lord adventure called Scratchman, which is a novelization of a shelved Doctor Who script that's coming out in January of 2019. I'm just going to read you a quick synopsis. Harry and Sarah Jane Smith arrive at a remote Scottish island where their holiday is cut short by the appearance of strange creatures, hideous scarecrows who are preying on the local population. The islanders are living in fear, and the Doctor vows to save them all. But it doesn't go to plan. The time travelers have fallen into a trap, and the Scratch Man is coming for them. So like I said, I don't Doctor Who book, but this sounds fun, and I kind of want to read it, so I'm going thumb sideways.
Lydia.
I'm same boat. I don't Doctor Who, but that does sound pretty interesting, mm-hmm. so yeah, I'm a thumb sideways.
I'm always a sucker for, like, lost scripts mm-hmm. or lost footage or whatever. I doubt that I'd actually read this, but I'm giving it a thumbs up. Pickett.
Thumbs up, for sure. It's Doctor Who's on it.
Fair enough.
Matt.
It sounds like classic Doctor Who with the monsters and things getting interrupted. And, you know, yes, lost scripts. As much as I love these ideas, I never tend to get to these particular books, but I'm still going to go thumbs up for the idea.
So we've talked a few times about the demise of Toys R Us. And at first, the like hourly employees were not going to get any kind of severance pay. But KKR and Bain Capital have established a $20 million fund for the 33,000 laid off Toys R Us employees. And then also pressure is being placed on the lenders that force the company into liquidation. So they may get more. The it's been established with payments of from $200 to over $12,800 per eligible employee based on pay and length of service. I think this one is an easy thumbs up. These guys should have gotten a severance pay to begin with, as opposed to the exorbitant severance pay that some of the executives got. Right. So, Pickett.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that I give it a thumbs up for finally having, but a thumbs down because it's taken so long. Overall, thumbs up because I'm glad it's happening. But, yeah, it's crazy that it's even it was even in question. I mean, I understand their situation at the time. You know, they were closing for a reason, but still.
Matt.
Yeah, just for the fact that this should have happened a long time ago, but the fact that it is happening, I'm just going to go thumbs up.
Definitely.
I am impressed that this is happening because typically once a company is gone, it's just gone. You get what you get. You're done. But kudos to them. Thumbs up.
Lydia.
Same as what they just said. Pretty much word for word.
So, Matt, let's talk about a General Mills Monsterverse.
Yeah. So General Mills and Universal are going to be working together to launch a cinematic universe with stories for featuring their serial monster mascots. So so Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and yes, Booberry are going to get... well, and here's the thing, not necessarily movies, but they want to bring their mascots to life across all different mediums. And right now they are launching this project with the Work with the Monsters initiative, I guess you'd call it. Basically, what you can do is go to General Mills, like their website, and tell them with your resume and credentials why they should work with you. If they verify your credentials and your resume, you can then pitch your idea to them for one of these characters, regardless of the media that you choose. And then they will go from there. But they are looking at filmmakers, actors, agents, writers, producers, animators, everybody to try and get this off the ground. So I think it's a cool idea how they're going to essentially get this off the ground and how they just want to pool resources to make it happen. But this just doesn't need to even be a thing. So I'm going thumbs down.
Tabitha?
We went them sideways because I think it's a cute idea.
Lydia?
I'm going to go with them sideways because I think it's great that they're kind of opening the floor to people to kind of try to get some more creative ideas going. But I don't think we need things based off of serial characters.
So,
I'm just waiting for it.
What?
You.
Just go ahead. Go ahead because it's...
Oh, I love this idea. I mean, total thumbs up for me. I didn't end up getting one this year, but I always, like, every year I get a box of Booberry.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
And I love the idea that it's that they're, like, opening up this idea, but it's not just to the general public. So, like, you don't get Booberry starring Bodie McBoatface.
why not?
I love this idea. I would totally watch this with these movies.
I'll watch them with you.
Even if they're like direct to home video, like yes, give it to me.
Direct to home video. It's 1983 here, everybody. I'm not even alive yet.
Me neither.
Pick it.
Depending on what time of year it is.
Right? God, there's too mixed feelings about this, but I'm gonna give it a thumbs up only on the idea that I think it'd make a really cute like kid series of books, like short stories or whatever. I don't think I'm down for a movie. Personally, but I'm going to give it a thumbs up because I'm always interested in new content, so there's that.
Tabitha, let's talk about a tattoo that lets you play Sonic.
Oh god, this guy's doing too much, guys.
super extra?
Yeah, super extra. Olo Sabanja? Sure, we're going to go with that. Shared his augmented reality tattoo on Twitter. want you guys to think about the words augmented reality tattoo. He made it using Unity, which is an open source programming suite that video games are made with, I guess. I don't know anything about video games. But the way that it works is that his real tattoo, and it's a controller, serves as a marker that the augmented reality program recognizes, and you can play the video game through his tattoo. Thumbs up on the creativity. I don't know how the hell you figured out how to do that. Thumbs down on why he's so extra.
Lydia.
So once I caught on to what you were talking about with it, I love this. Like, this is like the ultimate geek thing to do. So thumbs up for being able to figure it out, and absolute thumbs up for using your tattoo as a controller. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, I love this. I'm giving this a thumbs up as well. Now,
being Sonic probably doesn't hurt either.
Exactly.
That too.
Now, as of right now, he can only make Sonic jump into like a jump and do a spin ball or whatever. But yeah, I would love to it to go on to where like you can actually play, you know, play the whole game. That would be awesome. Pickett.
Yeah, I'm gonna go thumbs down only because like where would this tattoo have to be located in order for you to use two hands to control a controller efficiently? I just don't see it working out.
I think it's on his forearm.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think it's on his forearm.
I think it's on his forearm.
It is on his forearm.
Yeah.
But. So it's a definite one-handed controller, limited functionality. It's a cool idea. You know, when it becomes like more like a legitimate thing, I might give it a thumbs up. I'm going to go thumbs down.
Matt.
I'm going thumbs up all the way on this because, yes, it is super, super extra. But... like the creativity and the intelligence it takes to like make this happen is awesome. And it's also not the first augmented reality tattoo. There have been people that have done not game wise, but augmented reality tattoos with the portal from Rick and Morty. That mm-hmm. Essentially the green of the portal can become like other things based on like what you're using the app
turns into
with.
Like a green screen kind of
yeah
thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I yeah just thumbs up on this idea in even though it's extra.
Yeah, they have the green screen. They also have the audio clips that you can put an audio a visual audio, I don't know what it's called, an audio wave on your arm or wherever, and you scan it and it reads it.
Last thing we're going to talk about for gut reaction. It was another trailer that came out on Thanksgiving. The Lion King trailer actually ended up being the second most viewed trailer debut from any studio within the first 24 hours. Wow. It generated 224.6 million global views. The only thing that's beaten it is Infinity War, which had 238 million views. I am so not ready for the quote-unquote live action. We all know it's not live action, so people need to stop freaking out over the use of the term. But I am so not ready for the live action. Dad? Dad, wake up!
Stop it. Stop it right now.
I give Mitch thumbs down.
My gut reaction to Mitch is two very enthusiastic thumbs down.
But I am so ready for every other second of this movie. Thumbs up, yes. Pickett.
Oh, gosh, yes. No, thumbs up a million times. Absolutely.
Matt.
I'm going to be the detractor here, and I'm going to go thumbs sideways. Just for the fact that watching the trailer, it is basically shot for shot like the original movie, which I know, like, that's kind of the point. But again, what's the point? Like, if you're going to make it shot for shot, just so that you can do it like in super 4K HD with, you know, new CGI technology, but it's the exact same movie with a different voice cast. I still don't understand why this is happening just in that regard. So that's why I'm going thumbs sideways.
Tabitha.
And I'm going thumbs down because without Jonathan Taylor Thomas, this movie is nothing.
You have a point.
Lydia.
I will see your point here,
okay.
But I will raise you the fact that we still have James Earl Jones.
Don't care. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I just can't wait to be king. Cannot be sung by anybody besides Jonathan Taylor Thomas and 11-year-old Tabitha, okay?
Okay,
fair enough. The end.
But... we'll get you a copy of Tiger Beat, and you can be okay.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be Lion Beat, though?
I'm going to give this a thumbs up before she gives you a shame.
I mean, to be fair, I'm surprised we made it past that serial story without him making a serial killer joke.
I was waiting for it. We all were waiting for you to make a bad serial killer joke. Like, that's what we were waiting. You let us down.
I'm sorry.
You're in trouble.
Now, before we go on, the only thing that I will say with yours, Matt, it's not going to be completely shot for shot, because I did read where they are, I think at least one song is being cut from the film.
Okay. Better be. I just can't wait to be king.
So, I mean, so I'm sure that, yes, it will be mostly shot for shot, but they have to make some differences, you know, even aside from that song. But anyway, I digress. All right. So going from Lion King to Lion Forge, we actually got today a press release that Lion Forge is going to publish Fast Enough, Bessie Stringfield's first ride. It's by Joel Christian Gill, who is the creator of Strange Fruit. It's going to be released, like I said, in February of next year. And it tells the story of a young Bessie Stringfield, who, if you don't know who that is, she was one of the first African-American women to travel solo across the United States on a motorcycle. It's going to be an imagined account. So, you know, so the stories of the young Bessie, not real, but it is going to have historical facts about the actual person. Gil did say, quote, "Fast Enough is for anyone who has ever been told that they are not enough. You are enough just as you are, and Bessie's story proves that." So that sounds awesome. I can't wait for that.
It does. Sounds awesome.
Also from Lion Forge, Incidentals 14 came out yesterday, and I got a chance to look through that. And like I had said last month with issue number 13, it's a really engaging story, you know, kind of about like the effects of, you know, dark Hollywood or whatever. But I thought that the kind of like the final battle with the Incidentals and Goal was just, it was very satisfying, I think is a great way to put that. And also with it being the last story of the arc, you know, kind of sets things up for, you know, what's next for the team and everything. And yeah, and it's, I was really glad that this arc is what I got caught up on with mm-hmm. them. And I'm really excited for to see what's coming up next. So we did also get a chance to look through These Savage Shores number 2, which is from Vault. And I know that Tabitha and Matt also got a chance to read that. Go ahead and give me your thoughts on that.
These were like watching a movie for me, like with the art, like where they would like show you this whole scene and they would zoom in on like certain different parts of what was happening in that scene, which is wonderful for me because I'm blind and I can't see anything. So when they would like zoom in on the important parts, I knew what I was looking for, and it just like kept me like turning, well, not turning the pages, scrolling the pages, whatever. And I loved this. I really did. Both issues.
Okay. Matt, what do you think?
I absolutely loved the first issue and could not wait for the second. So when this one came in the email, I pretty much just jumped for joy. I'm like, couldn't wait for it, and it did not let me down. It expanded on the story from the beginning. It gave me some more background. The art is just absolutely fantastic. And you also, in this one, got an additional surprise. You know, we kind of knew that there was a monster lurking, but the way that came about was really cool and really interesting, and a twist that I did not expect to see, and also adds a whole new level to the story going forward and how that plays out with essentially all of the characters. Mm-hmm. Just from beginning to end, like, I absolutely love this series. Like, it's just fantastic, and I cannot wait for more.
Nice. So, yeah, so like I said, both The Savage Shores number 2 and Incidentals 14 came out yesterday, so be sure to check those out either at your local comic shop or online. So, one other thing that we got via press release today, Tokyopop is adapting Nana Ya's Goldfish manga into an animated series. Cool. It's going to be produced by I'm sorry.
That's cool.
Oh,
sorry.
No, it's all right. I wasn't for sure I'm still not for sure if I'm pronouncing these correctly. And so I thought you were correcting me, and I was like, please do.
Close enough.
So yeah, so Tokyopop is working together with European animation studio Studio Suefs.
Yeah, I have no idea on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Goldfish is the one of the first titles in Tokyopop's International Women of Manga initiative. The first two volumes are available in English and in Nanaya's native German. And then also the first volume has been released in French as well. So it's kind of a take on the legend of King Midas.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
It features this character. It's a fisher boy named Maury Gibbs, who lives in a flooded world overrun with dangerous mutated animals known as Animals. But like King Midas, everything that he touches turns to gold. So he's on a quest to rid himself of this blessing turned into a curse. So, yeah. Sounds interesting.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I feel like I've read that at some point, and it was pretty cool.
So, all right, Matt, let's talk about Marvel publishing League of Legends.
So, League of Legends being one of the most popular, I guess, esport games out there, has basically attracted Marvel's attention. And they are going to be working with the game's creator, Riot Games, to bring League of Legends to comic books. The first project is titled League of Legends Ash the War Mother, and it is going to be an origin story for Ash, one of the heroes. Essentially League of Legends, it's kind of like a turn-based strategy game, but you have a quote-unquote hero that leads your troops into battle. Ash is one of said heroes that you can pick. All the heroes have different abilities. They have different backstories. So the world itself is super rich for backstory and for expansion for these types of stories. The comic is going to be written by Riot Games' own Odin Austin Schaefer, and the art is going to be by Nina Vakuva. It is going to start... It's going to be digitally released first, starting December 19th, and there will be monthly installments from there. And then we will get a full physical graphic novel as of May of next year.
Nice.
So if you don't want to do digital, you'll still be able to read it come May when the whole graphic novel comes out. So,
which I like that idea that, you know, they're not going to make you wait on a monthly basis if you choose to read it, you know, in print.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Like, and I think that's interesting too, just because, like, somebody like me who, like, I have no idea of anything about League of Legends, but if I were to read that, maybe that would get me more interested.
Yeah. Well, I think it's cool too that because, I mean, it's a game, so where are you releasing it first? Online. It's right in line with the people that are already playing the game, that are already interested in it, be able to download it, read it, go back to playing. Without ever even, you know, leaving your chair.
Yeah.
So
speaking of esports, Matt, we're going to stick with you and talk about what the U.S. Army is doing.
Yeah. So the U.S. Army every year has recruitment goals. And for the first time in 10 years, they have failed to meet their recruitment goal. So they are going to be taking a different turn with recruitment and forming esports teams. These will be teams of active duty troops, reservists, and vets that will be part of the Army's marketing and engagement team. But the idea is that they will be able to connect more readily with youth and those people who are already involved in these games. So they're going to have teams for Fortnite, PUBG, Overwatch, FIFA, League of Legends, Call of Duty, Madden, and NBA 2K. The whole thing is going to kick off with a Tekken tournament. And the kind of cool thing about the tournament is that the winner of the Tekken tournament will get to go to PAX South as the Army's representative in a Tekken tournament there.
Oh, that's cool.
So they're hoping, like I said, that this, you know, connects with younger kids, younger people, gives them a different view of soldiers, you know, and just, you know, those people in the Army altogether. But it also allows those players in the teams to kind of act in their recruitment, to let them know that there's a whole bunch of different things you can do in the Army. It's not just, not everybody's a grunt, mm-hmm. which I think is a really cool way for them to like both interact and increase the knowledge, about what's out there.
Stigma.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
I really like that idea.
Like, hey, these guys are pretty cool. They play Fortnite, just like I do, But, oh, this guy does this, this girl does that, that kind of thing. So I think it's pretty cool that they're, taking the initiative and seeing how popular esports are and just grabbing us and running with it.
I do think it's interesting, though, that included in these games that they're playing are games like Call of Duty.
Don't y'all get enough of this? Like,
right.
But that brings up the question, though. Would they be, really super good at it, or would they be horrible at it?
It's a good question.
Because it's kind of like if you take, a real guitar player and give them Guitar Hero, they can't play it worth crap.
No. It's just true. They can't.
Hold on a second. I am a Guitar Hero master, and I play guitar. Just throwing it out there. Actually, I Guitar Hero better than I play guitar, so.
Yeah, you just proved our point.
Dang it. I'm amazing at playing guitar.
I'm just saying, Pickett, though, you say how good of a Guitar Hero person you are when you live, a half hour away from the people that you need to prove it to.
It's true.
I mean, name a time and place.
Your place this weekend. Let's go.
All right, I'll be there. It'll be fun.
Record that.
Now I just need your address.
But anyway, Lydia, let's talk about VR games and what they're doing to help physical therapy.
So a group of students at a university in Tampa have been working on a VR, I don't want to say game, but it's basically like a VR game to help out with physical therapy sessions with people. It's typical VR headset, but there's also sensors for your hands and your feet to help kind of gauge off of that. But their thinking behind it is that physical therapy gets so monotonous and boring that a lot of people don't follow it through all the way to full recovery. So to kind of help break up the monotony of it, they are doing this to help keep people interested and involved in it so that they actually go through with it to where they need to be.
Yeah.
And from what I was reading of it, they said that the sensors also can kind of act as a guide as to how far they've come in the recovery. So it also helps the people doing the physical therapy because they don't have to just stand and watch them every single second that they're doing it. Mm. I don't remember where else I was going with that. I had all of that planned out in my head earlier and I was just gone. But yeah, it's called a therapy is what they called it. So very clever little play on words for that name. But I love the idea behind this because I've seen my sister and my mom go through physical therapy and it's the same thing over and over and you don't want to do it. So if they can come up with a way to keep people involved and get them back to where they need to be, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Cause nobody wants to do a bunch of monotonous therapy. This makes it almost fun.
Right. Yeah. No, it really seems like a cool new idea.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I also really rambled on during that, but yeah.
Oh, well.
Like we've not.
We all rambled.
Right.
So
that's kind of what we're good at.
I feel like our theme song should be Rambling Man sometimes.
So, Tabitha, let's talk about scary stories to tell in the dark.
Well, we finally got some titles, guys. We know what some of the scary stories to tell in the dark are actually going to be. We've known this has been coming for quite some time. But now we have a very long and a much longer than I anticipated list of the stories that are going to be in here. Coming out from HarperCollins in early 2019, it has a bunch of the original stories that changed. I didn't really recognize anybody's name except one or two. which kind of makes me nervous, but it's fine. But I'm most excited that if you look at some of the story titles, like, you can tell that they're, like, based off of, like, older horror fiction. So that makes me incredibly happy. We have titles, guys. And one of my favorite authors actually has a story that's going to be in here called Lice, a Feather, Stiff as a Board. And I'm stoked. The only thing I'm mad about is, why is this coming out in January? You couldn't push it, make it come out in Halloween. Come on. Come on, HarperCollins, get it together.
See, maybe they'll release it in January and then they will re-release it in October with
like a special cover.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Yeah, that's a marketing. That's a marketing tactic. You're right. HarperCollins, I see you.
I think Lydia sees...
Well, I see HarperCollins because Lydia showed me HarperCollins.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you, Krista. Anytime.
Tabitha, we're going to stick with you and talk about Roald Dahl.
Okay, so little known fact, Roald Dahl is my favorite ever of everything that has ever existed. The end. And
I'm just going to tell Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Shh. Lydia, are you trying to get me in trouble? No, not at all, boss. Sorry.
Wow. There goes that plaque.
Shh, you leave that plaque alone.
Anyway, Roald Dahl, Netflix, is in it's in negotiations, and they've made a deal with the Roald Dahl company to introduce a slate of animated projects based on some of his tales. They have a huge roster of these, which makes me so happy. Like, I was waiting for it to be like one or two, but no, there's 15 of them, including your typical Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, the BFG, on and on and on. The one I'm most excited for is SEO Trot, because I don't think we've had an SEO Trot imagining. Mm-hmm. And if we have, I don't know where it is in the world, but I need it. So I'm so happy. Like, we don't have a lot of details, but we know it's coming. It's Netflix, so they're not going to mess it up, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be animated, and there's so many of them, and I'm so happy. And I keep saying this about all these TV shows that I'm going to watch, and guess what? I still haven't watched Sabrina, Haunting of Hill. I haven't done any of these things.
Wow.
I'm turning into you. I'm so busy. I'm the new Mitch.
Which is funny, because how earlier I was talking about how I was turning into you.
Oh, that's true. Uh-oh. With your Slytherin man swimming suit, whatever it was. I'm
at the resort.
Mitch and I. Have
Wait a minute. Has Mitch been sitting in Tabitha's chair?
No. No, he's just, I told him today that I'm not convinced he's not gone full Slytherin on me.
But I feel like what I said after that was kind of Hufflepuffy.
Hufflepuffish? Hufflepuffish. I don't remember what you said after that, but...
Well, it's because you said, because how you said resort, I read resort, and I got excited.
Oh, yeah. He was like, are you going on vacation? And I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that's totally a Hufflepuff thing.
Yeah. So. You're a Slytherpuff. That's what I'm going with.
Pufferin.
Ooh, every day he's Puffer. I'll see myself out.
Yeah. Probably for the best.
I told you, I don't know who let me leave my house today, but it was a terrible idea.
So, Matt, let's talk about a new noir mystery podcast.
So, this is... Every time I see stuff like this, I'm like, I really need to I need to listen to more podcasts. Because there is a new podcast, scripted podcast coming. It's titled The Angel of the Vine. It is a dark noir mystery, which just sounds fantastic. And then you get to the cast for this scripted podcast. So you've got, I can never pronounce his name. Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I just can't ever do it. I can't wrap my tongue around that name. I can't. Constance Zimmer, Mike Coulter, Alfred Molina, Carrie Payton, Alan Tudyk, and Nolan North are all going to have parts in this podcast. It follows a podcaster. The podcaster himself is a journalist, Oscar Simmons, who is fascinated by cold cases, which are a hot topic in podcasts in general, especially you know, true crime stuff. But this one
cold
is
cases are hot topics.
Yeah. Wow, it's really close there. So one of in this world or existence, the Angel of the Vine is one of the most infamous of these cold cases. The basic story is that a gruesome murder in the 1950s Hollywood, a young actress, Marlene Marie Evans, was found in a parking lot, her body mutilated and posed, with evidence either non-existent or destroyed when she was discovered by a stampede of curious onlookers. Mm. So,
Black Dahlia.
I mean, yeah. To a degree, yeah. So Joe, our friend Joe, that I can't pronounce his last name, is going to be playing the ex-cop and the private detective, whose notes and tapes Simmons digs through during this podcast.
Oh.
There are 10 30-minute episodes. So, and it sounds like, I didn't get a chance to look, but it sounds like they're already all out. So you can go through and see if the case is solved by the end of the 10 episodes.
I need to find this.
It sounds same. Super cool.
I know I'm doing it at work now.
Except you're welcome.
Instead of working.
Well, you know. So, let's see. Matt, let's stick with you and talk about Devil May Cry.
So Netflix, as we know, really kind of sort of can do no wrong unless they're canceling Marvel shows. The producer, Adi Shankar, who has done Castlevania, has now been lined up to produce a new project based off of another video game. He's going to be doing a Devil May Cry series for Netflix. So same style, anime style, going with... there's really not a whole lot more information. He kind of sort of had this idea a long ago when he pitched Castlevania to Netflix. But with the popular and critical success of Castlevania, they are going to greenlight this. And the other cool kind of thing is that he is going to have them tie together. There's no real, like, how it's going to, like, be intermingled. They will have some sort of connection between the two series. So...
It's really cool that they're starting to go more anime style with some of these newer series, especially now that they're Marvelous.
Not Marvelous.
Ladies bring the puns.
had to throw it out there.
Leave Crystal alone.
I will say, like, I've only watched a couple of episodes of Castlevania, but I mean, the art style for that has been really good. And if they do the same kind of thing with Devil May Cry, I mean, I think that they're going to definitely be onto something. And obviously, if they're going to connect the two series, then it's not going to make sense for Devil May Cry to look like Teen Titans.
Yeah.
So,
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Devil May Cry Go.
The Devil May Go.
Devil May Cry.
Yeah,
I like
that better.
There we go. I mean, to be fair, like, if you've seen the Devil May Cry video games, the anime style, like, it just fits super well with that already. So, I think it's going to be cool. And especially, they've already proven that he can do this with Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
Devil May Cry is in good hands.
Mm-hmm. So, Tabitha, let's talk about a new class for Dungeons & Dragons.
Old Spice, man. I can't.
What?
Old Spice. As in, like, the...
Like, the deodorant?
Yeah, the deodorant for old men who are trying to be the deodorant for young men. Hope I'm not offending anyone in the room.
I mean, I use Old Spice sometimes.
That makes sense, though, because you're kind of an old soul.
When I was a kid, I used to use Mitchum. Because... I am not joking. I'm not making that up.
There's no way you could make something like that up. It just has to be true.
It wasn't for very long. I thought you were going to shame young Mitch.
I can't do anything about young Mitch. He's a lost cause.
He's the reason we have this Mitch, though.
Girl's got a point.
So wait.
But I think that needs to go under a new name, though. It needs to be Young Mitch.
There we go.
No. Young Mitch is a... Old Mitch is a byproduct of Young Mitch. We wouldn't have old Mitch without young Mitch. That's not how the
timeline works. Okay. I retract my idea.
Thanks for trying to have my back picket, because I was on the same wavelength.
Thank God it's an X-Men movie. The timeline would never make any sense.
The timeline never makes any sense here anyway.
Oh, fair.
What timeline is this, to be honest?
I don't even know what day it is. Old Spice. That's what we're talking about. They have revealed that they have unofficially created their own class within Dungeons & Dragons called the Old Spice Gentleman Class.
But why?
That's a great question, Lydia. No one knows. Old Spice is selling, like, part of the game and, like, part of your motivation in the game is selling Old Spice. So this is just one big, giant marketing ploy, which obviously... But I'm going to read their official description. You guys ready? All right. The gentleman will always find a way to rise above any challenge and inspire their companions to greater feats, all in the name of selling more Old Spice deodorant than Old Spice is already selling.
So your objective in the game is to ride around shirtless on a horse selling deodorant?
Yes. they can actually, in the beginning of the game, they can only use catchphrases or punchlines to hurt their enemies. I feel like you'd be real good at this.
Right at me.
I mean, you'd be amazing at that. In a world where you can hurt people and that's your motivation is to like make bad puns.
What's Mitch's superpower? Bad puns.
Oh, but big pun is already taken, so bad pun just sounds like we're ripping him off. So we gotta come up with a new superhero name for you.
It could be the pun isher.
There you go. Pick it comes in clutch. I love it.
Although she wasn't happy with Oxford Commander.
I thought that was awesome.
No. Just no.
If married,
okay. The gentleman cannot attend any social gathering past 10 p.m., but will always have a warm body to cuddle up next to. If his counterpart is killed, the gentleman must go into mourning, meaning he loses 5 levels for the remainder of the session. The matrimony feature can only be used one time, ever.
Wow.
The rules for this game are hysterical. Like, I spent longer than necessary reading the file that I may or may not have for, like, a couple hours today, probably. That's what I did. And then I watched people. Anyway, I'm really boring. And this looks awful. Flash kind of fun. So I'll shame myself if you guys want me to.
I do like this part, too, where... one of the other abilities is to heal their allies with their pleasing scent.
So if you're knocked out, you just like go over and like, here you go.
It's like smelling salts. Oh.
Smelling hairs.
Oh.
No.
You know how I feel about body hair. That's just really rude.
Actually, I don't think that I do.
You don't? We've had this conversation. We had this conversation at work today. Everyone showed their leg hair except you. You remember that?
What?
Not really.
Wow.
He blocked it out.
Oh, yeah, I do remember
there
that.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. So. All right, so. I think that's going to do it, guys. That is all the time that we have for this episode of Geek Awakens. This episode was brought to you by LodgeCon. It'll be held February 9th and 10th at the Will County Fair Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be posting news throughout the week. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, Matt and I will be back Monday to review the last 2 episodes of Doctor Who in The Geek Awakens Presents, Traveling the Hooniverse. Finally, be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us at The Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week. Everybody, say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.